It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Central Time, House Republicans are looking to cut $5.5 trillion in federal spending over the next 10 years. We'll get the latest from Washington.
But first, were you among the many Wisconsinites stepping outside last night to catch a rare glimpse of the Northern Lights? They were seen as far south as Madison for the first time in about a decade after a surprise solar storm hit peak levels and kicked off a kind of global aurora watching craze last night in both hemispheres.
Astronomers say strong solar activity caused the aurora borealis to be brighter than usual, but what exactly is happening in space to bring bright green lights to the northern horizon?
To learn more, we turn to Chris Janssen. He's the planetarium director at the Wausau School District. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So what happened last night with all the solar activity to create this aurora craze last night?
Well, the sun basically spit in our general direction with a solar flare yesterday. But the particles that it ejected are high-energy particles that kind of escape the magnetic field, mostly electrons. And those particles come at us at extremely high velocities, charged, subject to magnetic fields. Most of the particles are gently deflected away thanks to our magnetic north and south pole. However, some of those particles are funneled down towards the poles because of they are charged particle. And they strike the atmosphere, which then gives like a fluorescing effect, just like a light bulb.
And what was the deal with this particular solar storm and aurora that made it such a big deal?
Well, the sun is a little bit unpredictable. We understand quite a bit about it. The Solar Dynamics Observatory this last 10 years has really given us a great eye on it. But we really can't predict these particular storms. And so the material that's ejected just happened to be a particularly large coronal mass ejection, and it happened to be aimed right at us, or close to us.
I was watching Twitter pretty closely last night, trying to see if I should head out in my car, which eventually I did, and people were saying this was a solar storm, the likes of which we hadn't seen in a decade.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers all last night, and then this morning as well, and there's something called the KP Index, which kind of can tell you which latitudes these things can be seen, and even now, as we talk, the levels, the KP index, according to NOAA's website, is at 6, which is here in central Wisconsin. It's not quite down by Madison, but central and northern Wisconsin right now, if there was no daylight, we might be able to see something. We'll have to see what happens over the next 5 or 6 hours as it gets dark.
So there is another chance for people to see this maybe tonight if this hangs on.
Yes. Yeah. It is reduced. Last night, actually, it turns out the 8 or 9 o'clock p.m. people were the ones who got to see stuff. Right after maybe, 9 o'clock or so, things dropped very quickly from like KP index of 8, which would reach down by Madison, maybe even into Chicago. And then right after about 9 o'clock or so, things dropped significantly back to KP index 5, which is pretty much north of Wausau.
Okay, I'm so jealous of those people who got out there early. I got out there at around 10:30 and didn't see anything. But for those people who were lucky enough, and I saw all these pictures from around the world, really, what did they see?
Well, the biggest thing is the reports, and everyone has seen probably pictures of Northern Lights, is this kind of undulating curtain of light with spikes, and it just changes. It's constantly in motion. It's slow motion, kind of like watching a fish tank or something, you know, very, very slow, mostly greens caused by oxygen. This particular storm was so extreme that those particles were really penetrating deep into the atmosphere, and so we're actually starting to see some reactions with nitrogen and giving us the reds and the pinks. There was a picture I saw over in Sweden, northern Sweden, just unbelievable. There's a photographer there who was quoted as saying he's never seen anything like this with the reds and the pinks.
Now, if we lived, say, near the North Pole, would we see Northern Lights all the time, or is it even rare that far north?
Actually, there is a kind of a donut shape. They call it like an oval that surrounds the magnetic North Pole. So actually, right at the North Pole, you're just about as likely to see the Northern Lights as you are, say, where we live in Wisconsin. The prime location would be like the Norway-Sweden latitude, say, 60 degrees north latitude, 50 to 70 degrees north latitude in that donut right around the Earth's magnetic pole. And then I imagine if we were to contact those people, they'd say, oh, yeah, hey, I see them all the time.
Is it normal for it to be a global phenomenon like it was last night? Because it was northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere, and pictures were coming in from all over the world. You know, I wasn't seeing it, but I kind of felt like I was on Twitter. I was seeing Norway and Sweden and New Zealand and Wales and Canada and Illinois and Ohio. It was just everywhere, apparently, but where I was.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest parts, and I love that about modern-day social media, is I got to see pictures of what's coming. You know, it was still daylight here when the alert came out. The sun wasn't even down, and I'm having friends over in Europe, planetarium directors, you know, contacting United States, get ready, get ready. It was really exciting to be a part of something like that.
Now, Veronica hit the road yesterday, or last night, I should say, to try to find this. I only made it as far as the back porch, realized I was going to be blinded by neighborhood lights. I wasn't going to be able to see any kind of northern lights. Did you see it last night, Chris, or have you ever had a firsthand view of the northern lights?
Oh, yeah. When I was younger, say, not this last solar maximum, but maybe in 2000, they're spectacular. Once you see them, you want to see them again, and it's worth it. You know, like, you know, I'm fairly new father, and so you're right. You step out onto the deck, and you kind of look out, and, oh, it's a little cold, and, you know, everyone's asleep, and I don't want to bother people, but there's still always that drive to get in the car and drive as far as you need to, because they are so fantastically beautiful. Once you see them, you just never quite forget them. I did get a report from a local, we have a planetarium newsletter, so I sent out an alert yesterday, and I got a report back that, you know, she took her daughter out north of Wausau here, and for the first time, her daughter got to see the northern lights, and she could barely sleep, I guess, last night. So I got
so
that
cool.
to weigh on me today.
And did we in Wisconsin get those bright colors, those reds and pinks that other people were getting?
I heard reports of some pinks. They were pretty light. By the time, you know, 9 o'clock was coming, 8 o'clock, by the time the astronomical twilight had set in, you know, we were already on the way down from the KP index. So by that point, the pinks and reds were fairly benign. You'd have to be up north, say Tomahawk, or up, you know, by the big lake to really start seeing some of those colors.
Veronica mentioned seeing Twitter posts from New Zealand. Do they have the southern lights? Are they called the southern lights down there?
They are. It's Aurora Borealis, which is the northern lights, and then those are called Aurora Australis. And it was predicted when we were first discovering what they were, that since you have a magnetic pole, there's no such thing in the universe as a monopole. If you have a north pole, you must, according to the laws of physics, have a south pole, and they are equal in strength. So if you are having these particles come in and strike the north pole, it is then predicted you will have the same effect at the south pole. And so sure enough, now in the age of satellites, people can watch live the donut-shaped effect of this high-energy particle impact is almost identical on both the North and South Pole.
So the slightly annoying thing about the Northern Lights is that you never really know when they're going to hit, and so you end up like me driving around in your car randomly for hours. But how can we maximize our chances of actually seeing them?
Yes, it used to be you'd have a network of phone network of friends, and we'd all call each other, you know, and that still is very powerful. You know, if it's even 2 in the morning, we have rules for each other. You know, like, if you see them any time of the day, you call. You know, some people say that, and some people say, no, if it's after 2, don't even bother. But nowadays, we have smartphone technologies, and there are some devices, and I'll be platform, you know, non-discriminant here, but both Android and Apple, if you were to just search Aurora, you know, you can get many free apps that will actually alert you when the KP index reaches a certain point, and it will actually beep at you if you set your notifications as such. For I think that maybe $2 or a couple of dollars for these apps, you can have it do more than just alert you. You know, it can do forecasting, and so nowadays my best suggestion for folks who really want to see this is get hooked up with some type of tablet app or smartphone app. Most people have some type of tablet or something that would just actually alert you or page you when it's time to get out.
And Chris, a little bit cloudy, at least here in Madison. Are you going to go out and try to see if there's any aurora going on tonight?
Definitely. I'll be watching this KP index. And I was like you. I missed the 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock lights. I'm thinking, I was looking at the NOAA's website, and I said, oh, it's really going to punch hard at, you know, between 11 and 2 a.m. That's what the forecast says. And just like a bad luck clock, the KP just dropped like a rock from like 8 down to 5 right at about 9 o'clock. So I'll be going out tonight again, yes.
I feel your pain, but I don't know if I'm going to be out there with you again. Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. It was fun.
We've been speaking with Chris Janssen, Planetarium Director for the Wausau School District, telling us about the science behind last night's Aurora Borealis in both hemispheres from Norway to New Zealand.